Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 20th of November, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we got news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose, and donuts from heaven. We have a brand new underwriter, and we want to thank Dave. No, the other Dave. From Fairport Donuts, who brought us donuts today. They're a new underwriter for the show, and we want to thank them. They're not good. They're not even delicious. They're insanely heavenly. I almost had a second one. I came this close, but they're so freaking big. If I had a second one, I'd be talking like this the whole show. They're delish. They are delish. They are delish. All right. Let us start with our news of the week. Thanks primarily to the Apple iPad, 2010 has shaped up to be a year dominated by tablets. With the holiday shopping season getting into gear, tablets are at the top of many wish lists, but speculation about next generation tablets might be a good reason to hold off. The question is, buy a tablet now or wait to see if the rumors pan out and be first in line for the next wave of tablets? A survey from Ignite, I don't know who they are, found that 70% of respondents are hoping for an iPad, while the remaining 30% covet the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Perhaps a little patience is in order, though. Rumors and speculation abound that the first quarter of 2011 will see a wave of second-generation tablets with new and improved features. It would be a shame for your Christmas present to be obsolete before Valentine's Day. For starters, tablets like the Samsung Galaxy Tab run on the Android OS. Google has stated flatly that Android was not designed for a tablet experience in mind. It is working on a tablet-friendly version of Android, Android 3.0, a.k.a. Honeycomb, which is expected in early 2011. Rather than rushing to get an Android tablet that is essentially a very large smartphone, maybe it makes better sense to wait and jump on the Android tablet bandwagon after Android is actually designed to run on a tablet. There are rumors that Samsung could be working on a more tablet-sized 10-inch tablet. The 7-inch tablet has been marketed as a feature, smaller, lighter, more portable. However, those benefits also hamper its functionality as a tablet. There are reports that the real reason for the focus on 7-inch tablets is that the current releases of the Android OS do not scale well above 7 inches. Perhaps when Android Honeycomb hits the streets, it'll be able to deliver a solid experience on a 10-inch screen. Then we have the iPad. The iPad is everywhere this holiday season. You get it from Target, Best Buy, Amazon, AT&T, Verizon, even TJ Maxx, apparently. The thing is, for all its popularity, the iPod has its fair share of weaknesses as a tablet as well. Some of those issues will be addressed if and when Apple finally releases iOS 4.2. They're now I'm guessing now it's going to be iOS 4.2.1 for the iPad.
Man, that light is bugging me. It's like back in the 60s, a strobe. I keep thinking that the phones...
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay, but it was clearly more important than the news.
Yes.
Bringing the iPad into the world of iOS 4, not the one from Cisco, will fix some things, but there are other factors that can only be resolved through a hardware update. New reports are circulating. The iPad 2 will come in early 2011, perhaps as early as January. That's a news item for later in the show. Of course, the impending wave of next-generation tablets could lead Apple, Samsung, and others to offer steep holiday discounts to clear out inventory and make room for the new devices. So, what's it going to be, instant holiday gratification or exercising a little patience to hold out and see what the next generation of tablets have to offer? And, of course, that's our question of our poll of the week. Actually, our poll of the next 2 weeks, since we're not going to be here. Are we going to be here next Saturday?
We're here next
Saturday. We are? Oh, how good for us then.
As far as I know. No, where we're not going to be is Christmas Day.
Oh, Christmas and
New Year's Day.
I knew it was two holidays. I didn't remember which two it was.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and fix the poll then because I got it running for 2 weeks.
Oops.
Anyway, the poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the question is computer tablet for Christmas. Choices are want now. I'd like one. Sure. I'll wait. I'd rather wait and see what's coming next. Already got one, and I'm not that excited. So far, we have 38 people who have voted, and most of them are not that excited. But, of course, I know you. You'll have more to say than just clicking a button. We'll satisfy you. So when you're done, check the little yellow box underneath the poll and click on Give Us Your Opinion. That will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can vote in the poll. The poll question, of course, is what kind of computer tablet do you want and why? So do that. And then, of course, give us a call. Are you going to buy now? Are you going to wait till next year? Do you not care at all? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Last night, we went to see Straight No Chaser.
Where was that playing?
At the Odd, the auditorium. They're an a cappella group, 10 guys. It's an a cappella group. They play the most, they sing the most amazing music.
Was that the group that does the 12 Days of Christmas
yes.
parody thing?
Yes, yep. yes. They are just astonishingly good. You can't help but love them. They have, first, to me, there's no sound more beautiful than the human voice in close harmony.
Yeah.
Secondly, in my heart, God made me a bass. In my throat, he made me a tenor. Okay, I've learned to live with that. But they had a guy, they had these two guys who played the bass, and they laid down a foundation that was just unbelievable. And
we're going to go.
The light went out. And so,
three of the four bulbs are now out.
Yeah.
But we got a color monitor.
Yeah, we got a color monitor. But these guys were incredible. They did a version of The Grinch.
Grinch Is Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one. Yeah. See, I can't get anywhere near
you
it.
This guy did. You were pretty close.
Well, no, this guy did Thurl Ravenscroft. Thurl Ravenscroft is the guy who originally sang that song. He was also the voice of Tony the Tiger, et cetera, et cetera.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed last year.
Oh, okay.
I loved it. The group was called Straight No Chaser, and if you are at all a fan of a cappella music and the human voice in close harmony, you really owe it to yourself to check these guys out.
Well, another concert that was just here in town, a friend of mine went to it, was Joe Bonamassa.
Sure.
He is
Bonamassa, isn't it?
Bonamassa. And he started playing guitar when he was 12 years old. And I mean studying folks like Cochran, B.B. King, and everything else. And this concert just totally rocked.
Yeah, I remember him in the concert listings in the olden days. He was too young to get into the bars he was playing at.
Yeah, and I mean, but he's a local guy, and a lot of folks don't realize it. He's from Utica. And folks were just, I got to see some of his YouTube, and whoa. I can see why folks, you know, were so excited to see him play here this past Tuesday. I was looking at his schedule, and he's not due back here maybe probably until 2012. He's going around here, and then he's going to Australia.
Nice.
But nice. 32 years old, and I mean, now Cochran and the rest of them envy this kid. Because, I mean, and he's had, you know, throughout the few years, B.B. King and that play with him, and they're just in awe that this kid wound up taking, you know, studying his style, and it's all his own style, but it's, you can see sort of it in there, you know, the different artists that he studied.
Right.
But his own brand, and he's good. So if you folks get a chance, since we are a member supported jazz station,
yep,
you might want to check that guy out.
What was interesting about Straight No Chaser is that they have been together since college, 1996-ish. They were Indiana somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But what's interesting is they, you know, were together in college and they did stuff and they did, you know, this and that. And then they went off all in their separate ways. They would meet up every once in a while and sing. And then they did this 12 Days of Christmas parody. And it was a YouTube video and it went viral. And so now they're on this 75-city tour. They've all quit their jobs, and they were scattered all over the country. They've all quit their jobs and come back together. I'll guarantee you the first guy to call everybody up said, we're getting the band back together.
Yeah.
It was quite an astonishing thing. They were wonderful.
Cool.
The energy on that stage was terrific. So, yeah, give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. I've been holding off getting a tablet myself. I've been looking at the Samsung Galaxy tablet. I'd love to play with one. I'd love to do a review of one. But I'm with everybody else. There, you know, I've never been one of these guys who waits because the next thing coming around the corner is going to be the best thing. Because the reality is, if you do that all your life, you end up buying nothing.
Oh, one other website that I just my partner Dan happened to find was bfads.net, and it literally has all the Black Friday ads.
Oh, nice.
I mean. At all the stores. The stores are all listed down along the left-hand side.
There's a couple of apps for Android and iPhone for that, too.
And yeah, you can get in there and see what's going to be on sale and insanity. And I hate to admit it.
You're already looking at stuff.
No, I already found something I want to get, and I always swore up and down. My butt wouldn't be up at no GD hour trying to get in on something.
Oh, man, I did that when my daughter was about 12, 11. We were going to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty much how old she was, maybe a little younger. We were going to Arizona, and I wanted to get her a portable DVD player.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
For the plane. It's like an 8-hour plane ride, and you don't want to take a young kid on a plane ride like that without some sedation of some sort.
And survive it.
Exactly. So I wanted to get her one of these, and so I was up at O Dark 30. Or as I prefer to call it, stupid o'clock in the morning, standing in front of a Radio Shack in the cold with about a day. And I got there and there were about three people in front of me. And I thought, and I stood there for about 5 minutes, angry with myself, huddled in my winter coat with my hood up because it was about 140 degrees below zero, thereabouts. I might be off by a degree or two.
Yeah.
And thinking, man, there's only like five people here. I could have waited another. I could have stayed in bed for another hour. And in the amount of time it took me to think that, I turned around and there were about 100 people behind me.
Oh, yeah.
All lined up. It was amazing. That by the time the store opened, there had to be 200 people out there.
Well, I'm going to venture out.
Man.
I don't have to go far. I only got to go over to Rondaquoit Mall. It's one store over there, so.
Rondaquoit Mall closed years ago.
Yeah. It's the Medley Center.
Yeah. How many stores are left over there?
Two.
Yeah, that's a Medley. Two makes a Medley. But yeah, it's Black Friday, of course, will be this coming Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It's when traditionally the huge holiday sales start. Next week we can talk about Cyber Monday, which will be the day nobody works. They all go online.
They're all glued to their screens at work trying to check out the websites, and bosses are saying, you know, they kept flipping back and forth between a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Boss is coming quick. Get the spreadsheet up, even though you don't work on spreadsheets.
I have my own office. I just close the door, lock it. Oh, did I forget to unlock it? I'm sorry. And do what I want. I can always switch screens. I'm on Linux, so I get 8 screens. I can switch to another one.
I like the TV commercial where the guy put bird seed on his keyboard and then left the window open. And then he took a nap under the desk. And the boss comes by and hears the pigeons picking on the keyboard.
Right.
Oh, he's in there working hard.
But, yeah, so it's Black Friday, so check out the deals.
Speaking as a retailer, we hate Black Friday.
I used to be a retailer, and Black Friday was the day I just wanted to come in with a shotgun.
I'm closed.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a huge sale day. It was just a huge sale day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, for retail, yeah, definitely.
And look, let me give you a hint. And this is from those of us who are retailers to those of you who are traditionally just customers. Be nice. I'll tell you what. When you're nice to people in that situation, when you've got a smile on your face and you're pleasant, they'll bend over backwards for you. Because everybody else is a mean, miserable son of a so-and-so, and you're being the nice one. I'll tell you, that works wonders. It really, truly does.
Yeah. Get a lot more accomplished that way than, you know. But, yeah, I still, you know, it still amazes me that you see some of the folks in the insanity. Like you say, getting up at O-Dark 30, and then you wonder now each year you keep seeing them, this person was hospitalized because of the crowds and everything else, and it's like,
and of course it's not necessary. God. You could do your shopping online any day you want. And the sales have really already started. They've been going on since Halloween at least.
Yeah, and that gets me too. I go into the drugstore.
It's already Christmas.
Last week, Christmas wrap is already out.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who refuses to do any Christmas thing till after Thanksgiving. I'm an American. I celebrate an American holiday, and I don't want it to get lost. So I don't do anything Christmassy until after Thanksgiving. But this year, because of the concert last night, I went home and I bought their Christmas
CD
pack. Well, it was two CDs and a DVD.
Ooh.
So I listened to the CDs. I didn't watch the DVD because it was late, but I listened to the CDs. It was my first Christmas. It's the first time I've heard Christmas music. I've played Christmas music before Thanksgiving, ever, it might be, ever.
Restaurant that I went to, Golden Fox.
Yeah.
They had the radio on last night. Let's go over there for a fish fry. They're playing Christmas music, and I'm going, yep. What the heck? Well, that's the station yep. we listen to. Change the station. Hello, not until Thanksgiving. There yep. should be a rule. I mean, when I had my house on Roby,
yep.
I'd sit there.
Hold on a second. Yep. I think the camera's not actually on.
I know. I'm trying to get it working.
Oh, okay.
But, so, you know, I'd sit there
The IRC chat's not working either.
No, it is. I'm there. And that's how I knew that the camera's not working.
Oh, I just got a connection error. Oh, now I'm back in again.
There you Weird. Go. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to have to quit the browser and try again.
But I'd sit there and, you know, I'd wrap, usually around Halloween, I'd wrap this big, huge blue spruce that we had out in front.
Right.
And I had over 1,000 lights, these little tiny lights, and I'd wrap it up there. Get it all hooked up. I'd first quick test it, just make sure all the lights were out as I was right. putting them up. And then it went on the timer. And the timer didn't get plugged in till Thanksgiving Day.
Of course.
Until
that would have done it until Friday morning.
No, I waited till Santa's parade. You know, at Macy's, he comes down. That's the official start. In my book, that's what my parents always said, that's when Christmas started.
Santa at Midtown.
There you go.
Santa at Midtown.
Yep.
That's Santa's helper.
Santa already came to the Parenton Mall 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Santa's helpers are out early this year. Yeah. It's absolutely true. But yeah, I helped Santa a couple of years at Midtown. I enjoyed being Santa's helper at Sibley's a lot more, though. Santa had a Barca lounger at Sibley's. And he was in the toy department. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on member-supported and Fairport Donut-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. The iPad might be the hot tech gift this holiday season, but prospective iPad buyers may want to wait for January as rumblings about a new iPad are starting to surface. Apple has sold 7.46 million iPads as of late September, and the company appears to be counting on a big holiday season for its popular tablet device. The iPad is already available through Apple as well as several major retailers such as Best Buy, Walmart, apparently even TJ Maxx is carrying it. So deals might be found if Apple wants to reduce inventory in anticipation of the iPad 2.0. We'll probably start hearing more concrete information in early January, but here's a look at what's being said now about the next generation iPad. It's pretty clear that the next iPad should have FaceTime, Apple's mobile video chat standard. FaceTime debuted with the iPhone 4, then it moved to the iPad Touch in September, so the next logical move would be to put FaceTime in the iPad. If the next generation iPad came with FaceTime, then the device would clearly need a front-facing camera. But it's being debated whether the iPad will come stacked with a rear-facing camera as well. Does an iPad rear-facing camera make sense for the device? Samsung's recently launched 7-inch Galaxy Tab is a 3.2-megapixel camera. However, many reviews of the device said using the tablet as a digital camera was a little awkward. If snapping pictures with a 7-inch screen is awkward, imagine using a nearly 10-inch device to do the same thing. Goldman Sachs analysts in September floated the idea that the next iPad 2, aside from being thinner and lighter, which would be delightful, would support a mini USB port, according to Bloomberg. The mini USB would replace the 30-pin dock connector used in the current version of the iPad. Apple is reportedly getting component manufacturers ready for the iPad 2 and will start ramping up production of the device in February, according to Taiwan-based Digitimes. Although most critics and analysts expect to see a revamped iPad in January, 1 year after the original iPad launched, very few rumors about the device have surfaced so far. Apple has sold 7.46 million iPads. So we're hoping that they'll sell a lot more. They're hoping they'll sell a lot more. We're all waiting to see what the iPad 2 is going to look like. And it really does look like the January-February timeframe. If things go according to everyone's plan, we're going to see a much, much bigger field and a whole lot more competition. So our question to you, go ahead.
So the iPad was announced last January, but it didn't ship until March or April.
Right, right.
Yeah. And that's sort of been an issue over the years in the Mac communities. We used to have a big Mac trade show in January. They've moved it later in January.
It wasn't actually a big Mac trade show.
It was Macworld.
Right.
The big Mac trade show.
It's not a big Mac trade show. Big Macs don't have trade shows.
It's a big Mac
trade show. Oh, there you go. I see what you're saying.
Semantics.
Semantics, yeah.
I don't like them really, anymore either. Sorry, go ahead.
It really annoyed, me too. Really annoyed everyone that all these new products were announced in January after you bought them for Christmas.
Yep. And then you can't even get them until March or April anyway.
Yeah.
Do they still even do like Comdex or the New York show?
Comdex is pretty well gone, but CES is still left.
And they're in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas too.
Yeah, they're in
Comdex
Vegas.
Comdex used to be such a great show to go to.
Comdex PC Expo as well.
CES is January 6th through 9th. Macworld is January 26th through 29th. So they used to be either the same week or 1 week apart. So most companies can't go to both. And it's difficult because CES is the big consumer show. And a lot of the Mac companies would want to be there too.
Right.
But then you can't if you got to go to Macworld next week.
Right.
So at least now they're 3 weeks apart.
Well, that's awful nice.
Well, that's one thing I used to enjoy so much going in spring, going down to Atlanta, Georgia, and spending the whole week at Comdex and sit there and make more connections. Even got to meet Bill Gates, Dennis Hayes, Peter Norton throughout the 5 years that I went. But, boy, you could come back with some great software. I came back with more stuff that I would raffle off at PC Cube when I was president there. And, I mean, and they just keep sending stuff, you know, once you're registered with them. And, we got this new one out. You want a beta test.
Yep. Those were the days we beta tested everything. I used to go down to I used to go to Comdex and I used to go to PC Expo. And once you were in with everybody, they were sending you stuff like you wouldn't believe.
Yep. I mean, I did Norton. I wound up doing PC Anywheres. I mean, Windows. I mean, Intuit, see some of the other products.
Yeah, my two favorite were I was a beta tester for McAfee and a beta tester for WordPerfect. Those are my favorites. I did a lot, but those are my favorites.
Remember WordPerfect, though, and they'd throw out the M&Ms?
The M&Ms, absolutely.
And they'd come to town. That one guy, he was always so vibrant.
Yeah, he really was.
Jumping all over the place.
And they were all tall, too. A WordPerfect rep I ever met was over 6 feet tall. I once asked him, is that like a job criterion? You guys have to be over 6 feet? But they were great. I used to have to sit on my hands because, of course, I've been beta testing. I've been using the product for a year. I knew every answer to every question they asked. And I'd have to sit there and go,
well, it's like I did with Corel Draw. I got very good at that and beta tested. I think it was versions 4 and 5.
Yep.
And that, you know, it's just a phenomenal program, and it still is to this day. I mean, a lot of your sign labs and everything else to this day still use Corel.
Yep. All right, so our question to you, does the sound of an iPad 2, does an iPad 2 sound good to you? Never mind, make a sentence out of that, because apparently at midnight last night I couldn't. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. I'll tell you what. I've been thinking about a tablet for the longest time. I think I'd like something larger than my phone, but I don't want a huge tablet. We have an iPad at work, And I have carpal tunnel, so I can't hold it for that long. I can't hold it up, you know? So, yeah, of course, if I'm going to sit down somewhere and watch a movie, I'd actually rather watch it on my big screen TV than on my iPad. And if I'm going to be listening to music, I'd rather listen to it on my Droid than listen to it on my iPad. So I'm not entirely sure what niche that fills, not for me at least. But something in the 7 or 8 inch category would be better for me in terms of my hands, and particularly if it's lighter, like say half the weight, I'd be able to hold it better. And yet it would have a large enough screen to do stuff on. And yet I don't know that I would use it in lieu of my netbook, because most of what I do is writing or programming, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that on any sort of tablet.
Yeah. We see a lot of people using it as their couch computer, media device. You know, you're on the couch, you're reading a book on the couch, watching TV, looking up stuff on the internet. And I've been known to take mine to bed with me because Shirley is watching television downstairs. So
sure.
I'll go upstairs and watch the show that I wanted to watch myself.
Right.
You know, I just realized, too, all right, next week's show, that means, we're going to have to do the Rumball show.
Yeah.
On the 18th.
Yep.
Because we've only got four more shows before Christmas.
Yep. Yep. So we're not going to be here Christmas.
We're not going to be here Christmas and New Year's. So, folks, we'll have to kind of plan, and then we'll plan on the 18th. We'll start getting the word out for the official Rumball show. And
all right. Our next, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Lynn. Where are you calling from, Lynn?
Climber. Correct.
All right. And how are things in Clymer?
Well, not bad for November.
Which means snowy, cold, miserable.
No snow yet. I've seen some flakes in the air, but we haven't had any snow.
Yeah, I apologize for actually using the S word on the air. We had some earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I thought of it more as thick rain. I felt a little better about that. What can we do for you, Lynn?
It's my understanding that we're running out of address space for IPv4 in approximately a year and a half, something like that.
You may well be a little optimistic there.
Oh, well, that's immaterial, I guess, at this point, seeing I'm asking you now. But anyway, so I guess our next generation is going to be IPv6.
Yep.
And I am wondering what that's going to break for me, because all the information I've found out so far is either nothing or stuff that's so far over my head that didn't mean anything to
me. All right, let me back up, and I'll try not to get too far ahead, but it is a very technical discussion. Here's the way it works. IPv4, Internet Protocol, this is how we communicate over the Internet, right? And at its simplest part, and I'm simplifying the living heck out of this.
Yeah.
So all those of you who are networking gurus out there, please just grit your teeth and listen. Put a mouthpiece in so you don't grind your teeth too badly and listen. IPv4, one of the things that IPv4 does is of course the address of your network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for example, 129.21.238.50. Would be an address. And you don't normally know that address. You normally call it, something.something.com, right?
Yep.
And then there are servers out on the internet that translate that into a number. But what that number does, it's 200, it's something.something.something.something, right? So it's 256.256.256.256. If you multiply those together, you get some 16 trillion numbers or whatever it is.
And that's what we're running out of.
And right, the original thought was that was going to be more than we would ever need ever, but as it turns out, we're out of them. We're simply out of them. So
current estimate is March of 2011.
Right,
we'll be out of.
Right. So what they did was a couple of years ago, they came up with IPv6, Internet Protocol version 6. And what that does is it adds four more dotted numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 256.256.256.256.256.256.256.256.
Okay.
And that adds up to, let me think, do some
You're
quick
not
math,
gonna do it.
A metric bucket load of number, which now they're saying, of course, that will last us for the rest of eternity. I laugh up my sleeve at them. But it should get us along. Well, what they've done with that, now the theory is, well, here's the problem.
And what has helped that problem a lot is home net routers. When it was originally designed, it was intended that everyone connecting to the internet had their own unique public IP address.
Mm-hmm.
And when people started getting more and more computers in their house, more devices, game consoles, you know, I probably have 15 addresses I'm using in my house.
Right.
So the home net router has helped on this address allocation. What has really hurt the address allocation is when it was set up, companies that were around at the beginning, you know, say HP, got 16 million addresses.
Mm-hmm.
They got that first whole digit themselves. Well, they don't need all 16 million of them.
Right.
So some companies are starting to give back addresses mm-hmm. they're not using.
Which is why we're not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what – now here, let's do a little thought experiment. And I realize that again,
we're
this is a long-winded and difficult explanation, but let's do a little thought experiment. Let's pretend that you have to turn on a light switch in order to get light, but you can't get that light until 16 billion of your closest friends, unless they all switch that light on at exactly the same moment. That's what it would be like to switch from one protocol to another.
Okay. I understand that.
If you don't do that, then somebody's on the new network and somebody else isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? However, what they did with IPv6, and this is very clever, is whatever your IP address is right now, all you have to do are add four zeros at the beginning, and there's your IPv6 address.
Oh.
So 0.0.0.0.129.28.238.50 is a legitimate IPv6 address. And IPv6 is willing to assume if you only send it four dotted 256s, it assumes that the top four are zeros. So transferring from V4 to V6 will actually not be that difficult, except that you need new hardware.
Right. The computer operating systems are pretty much all set for IPv6.
I understood that. But
right.
My Wi-Fi radios that I'm concerned about because I got three of them.
And your NAT router and your ISP's router and all of the routers in between.
And IPv6 routers are much more expensive than IPv4 because they have to be a lot beefier to handle all that additional numbering and traffic
mm-hmm.
and everything else.
I assumed that.
Yeah. And so that's where the problem lies. It's not that we can't do it. Or that we aren't going to have to do it. It's just that it will cost a lot of money for the upstream providers.
And
now, they're all working on it, but they aren't all there yet.
And we're going to wait until the last second until it actually has to be done.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, me, Nick, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller, sorry, I was just suddenly realizing I hadn't finished something off there. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
I get Kim Commando's newsletter every Saturday, and she did a study on those tablets that you were talking about, and she went through three of them, and they weren't very favorable. What came out of her study was when you touch them, sometimes they're very sensitive, or you hit one icon and something else comes up. So she wasn't very favorable with them. So I'm not
sure. a lot of the first ones that came out were ludicrously cheap. There was one that was $120. There's another one that was $99. Certainly those are junk. There's no question of that. The Samsung Galaxy Tab is astonishing. Except it's also, you know, the same, essentially, it's about $100 cheaper than an iPad. So when you get into that, that's one of the reasons that the iPad costs as much as it does. When you have capacitive touchscreen instead of resistive touchscreen, et cetera, those things cost more. And one of the problems that has been always with these things is that if you want quality components, you pay for quality components. And so the less expensive tablets, any tablet can drop in price as time goes on because obviously they make back their money, right? They amortize the cost over time, but then they can once they've recouped their losses, they can drop the price. But to start with, if you start out with a $150 tablet, that probably has a lot fewer components in it of a lot lower quality than if for a $500 or $600 tablet. So yeah, absolutely. The lower end tablets are mostly junk. I've played with one. I've played with the $89, what was the name of it? The iPad. And it was, you know, it's like a tap dancing elephant. It's not how well it tap dances, the fact that it tap dances at all. And the fact that you could get a seven or this was, I think, a 9-inch tablet, Android tablet for under $100 was kind of interesting in the fact that it worked at all, but it wasn't a good tablet.
And some of the issue, too, is how big your fingers are and how well the UI is written for your for fingers. You know, missing the button is
right.
It's one of the reasons on the iPad the buttons are so far apart. So that you make sure you hit the right one.
Well, that's why
we've
even
been selling a lot of styluses with it, so you can actually tap it with a stylus instead of your finger.
Well, right. That's why we've even said with laptops. You know, laptops, folks will get so discouraged on them, and that's why we tell folks, you know, if you can't, go out to your local stores and at least test drive a few of them. Because of the way they're laid out, and I know you like certain buttons certain ways, as do a lot of folks.
Yep.
You know, bigger shift keys or this or that, or they don't care for the glide pad. They like the what they call the eraser mouse.
Right.
And that type of stuff. I mean, you got to really test drive them because some of them get spongy keys and others you can get that have clicks. And I mean, so if you can, really go out and take the time just to test a few of them so that when you go shopping online and you see a particular layout, you know, you can kind of notice, well, that doesn't have a very big shift key, or the enter key is very
right.
small.
Right. And it's just common sense. It's like buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a $3,000 car, you can buy a $30,000 car, and you really don't expect them to perform in the same way.
Correct.
You buy a $200 laptop and a $700 laptop, same thing. You buy an $89 tablet and a $700 tablet, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree. Kim Commando did a nice job in what she had to study. But I'm saying, wait till February when all of the new models are coming out with better operating systems. And, you know, both the Android and the iPad tablets are going to have a kind of a refresh sometime in the first quarter of next year. And it's going to be a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until then. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, thank you, Victor. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Well, one thing for sure, though. Her team did the research. She just did the report.
Now.
No, unlike us, I mean, the three of us, when we're talking, it's actually stuff that we've personally looked up and researched. I'm being very nice.
Be nice.
We do the legwork ourselves. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to pat ourselves on the back. We don't have a whole team of folks, and when folks call up here, we don't have a whole group of folks, when she does her articles and all that do the research for her.
Right.
It's all us. So when you call up and ask a particular question, it's the three of us and our experiences and our knowledge that we've personally looked up, not some other team of folks.
Right. Right.
That's all I'm saying.
No, it's all right. Very good. All right. Dell has taken steps to improve support and services, but past episodes of poor customer support are coming back to hurt the company, according to an analyst. And what they said on Friday. Court documents unsealed Thursday and examined by the New York Times detailed charges that Dell knowingly sold thousands of desktop PCs with faulty components to customers between 2003 and 2005. That's an old story in terms of when it was done, but it's a new story in that we finally have unsealed documents that prove it. According to the documents unsealed in a case filed by Advanced Internet Technologies against Dell in the U.S., Circuit Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina in 2007. Dell avoided telling many of its customers about the extent of the problems and failed to recall systems that had contained faulty components. Again, we had rumors of this for a long time, but here's proof. The problem stemmed mainly from bad capacitors on the motherboards. We've talked about that 100,000 times happening to these guys and to everybody else we know. Mainly on motherboards supplied by a company called Nichicon, which were installed in Optiplex desktops. They shipped around 11.8 million Optiplex computers, 11.8 million between May 2003 and July 2005. The problem with that, of course, is the customers who experienced problems included the City of New York, Microsoft, and General Electric, none of whom are known for their patience and understanding when it comes to these sorts of problems. Now, the same issues affected many PC makers, but the problems have been resolved, Dell said. The company has fixed the computers and extended the warranty of systems containing faulty parts. Selling PC with faulty parts can create a negative impression, and poor service keeps customers away from buying more PCs from the company. Dell's acknowledged support issues it faced in the past, tried to fix the problem, but the negative impressions linger for a long time, and issues highlighted in something like the AIT case could hurt the company's reputation in the long run. Fixing that reputation takes a long time. Changing attitudes and sentiments takes years. Dell is now selling more PCs through retail stores, which participate in providing support. The company's also tried to address support for enterprises through new programs and through the acquisition of service provider Perot Systems in November of last year. So our question to you, are you ready to give Dell another chance? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just in a second, we're going to go back to the phones. But right now, I will say that for many years, I bought almost nothing but Dells. Buying their servers and stuff like that was they were huge. But starting several years ago, 2003, that's sort of.
Are you there,
Henry? I'm sorry, I was right in the middle of a sentence. No. But apparently we're going to Henry instead. Henry, are you there? Henry's calling from Bristol.
Yeah, we're having trouble with the phone.
I'll finish my sentence then. Thank you. I don't remember what I was talking about, so we'll just move on to some other topic.
Used to buy Dells all
the time. Oh, yes, we used to buy Dells all the time, and then the quality went way down. They've certainly come back up, I will say that, but I can't I have not for the longest time purchased a Dell product. I have to be honest about that.
The big problem with even name brand PCs, especially for businesses, is you buy 10 of them, and they're all different inside.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
So you can't and you buy 10 of the exact same model, and they're still all different inside.
Right.
So you can't make a universal driver disk. You can't make a universal install disk or restore disk.
Right.
And it's very difficult.
Right. And when I do that, I buy, say, laptops for all of my faculty. I want every single one of those laptops to be identical because I'll buy a couple of extras. I want to be able to install everybody's drivers and make one single image that I can push out to all those laptops using LanDesk or whatever I want to use.
Somebody has a problem with theirs, you just give them the next one off the pile.
I give them the next one off the pile, and then I can fix that one at my leisure because I can do all kinds of – and they store most of their data on our network anyway, so theoretically they don't have any data on their machines. So we do a lot of that stuff all the time, and I can't buy – a set of laptops that are essentially different inside and require different drivers. That's one of the things that Apple's had going for it forever because they make all their own systems.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you can fairly much guarantee, I suppose there's hidden secrets there too, but you can fairly much guarantee that if you buy 500 MacBook Pros, they'll all use exactly the same set of tools and drivers, and that, in fact, the insides will be close enough that you could create a universal image.
It is a little tricky between models because
yes. Each
new model that comes out needs a slightly newer operating system.
Yes.
So you have to rebuild all of your universals.
But, and you have to expect that.
Hopefully that's only two or three times a year.
Right. And you have to expect that. But when it's just one individual system, you really expect it to be the same all the way around. And it's an interesting problem. And I have sympathy for the hardware vendors. I do, because you want to buy the least expensive components and you buy a million of them, but then you sell 2 million machines. So you got to rebuy and they're not going to be this. I get all of that. I do. I truly do. But as a user, I have a problem.
See if he's there.
All right, our next caller might, in fact, be Henry from Bristol. Henry, are you there?
Yes, it's Brighton, actually.
Oh, Brighton. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a G, not an S. Got it.
Well, I have an older computer. I've had it for since about 2003. It's a Pentium P4 system. And the problem I'm having now is when I boot up, at first, what happened was the mouse would work for a few seconds, and then as I was moving it around, it would start to freeze. And now when I boot up, it freezes immediately. When I boot up in safe mode, it does work, however. It's just in the normal mode that it's doing this.
All right. This is an interesting question because it's either a driver conflict or it could be an interrupt conflict. What else do you have connected to your computer?
Not much. I have a network card, which goes to a wireless Linksys router. I have no other peripherals except a printer.
And how is your mouse connected? Is it a USB mouse or a regular?
It's the, the old PS2, is it?
Right, the PS2 connector. Okay.
Yeah.
And how is your printer connected?
That's a USB.
All right. If one thing to test is to uninstall your printer and see if that solves the problem, unplug the printer, uninstall the software.
Use Revo.
Use Revo to do that and then reboot so that it's gone completely from your system. And see if that solves the problem. It could be that your printer driver is interfering with your mouse. Now, is this a regular just plug it in mouse or do you have special software for it?
Microsoft mouse. I do remember getting some software with it, but I don't remember if that's still what's running it.
Right. And you say this is an HP printer?
Yes, it is an HP printer.
Did you load that HP software?
I may still have it. It's an older printer, but I think I still have the CD that came with it.
No. Did you load that software?
Oh, did I load it? Yes, I did.
Uninstall that.
Okay.
And see if that fixes the problem. As I've been saying for years, I love the HP hardware. I hate their software.
And it takes a lifetime to load it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go away, go to lunch, and come back, and the software might be just finally getting loaded.
Yeah. Is there any possibility that this could be a hardware issue?
It could certainly be a hardware issue.
Graphics card, for instance, or anything like that.
Well,
it's unlikely to be a hardware issue if it works perfectly in safe mode.
Well, yeah. It could be something like a graphics card.
But not usually, because the graphics card, he's talking USB ports.
Right, but in safe mode, you're running at 640 by 480 at 16 colors. It's a very low graphics.
Right.
So it could be the high graphics RAM could be failing.
One thing I might suggest you do is borrow a USB. Do you have USB cards in your system?
Yes, I do.
I would borrow a USB mouse from a friend.
Uh-huh.
And see if, unplug your PS2 mouse. When the machine is off, plug in your USB mouse, start the machine up.
Yeah, that's an idea.
See what happens. If it works, it's a $20 fix, right?
Right, right.
So I'd start there and give that a try before I started fooling around with uninstalling drivers or anything else. It would be the fastest and cheapest fix.
Okay.
Try that first.
Thank you.
All right, Henry, good luck.
Right, bye.
I got to tell you people what you missed because the camera's down. Dave just did. I thought he was going to take a hammer to the board and he was dancing on the desk and screaming and yelling.
Rob, came running stop around, listening.
Came running around behind us. I don't know what it was, but
the telco. What it is the phone system went down. It literally went totally dead. I was pushing the buttons, so Henry there, he was there. I could see him flashing on the white phone. But he wasn't coming up on this board, and I'm pushing in the light, and it wasn't coming on off. The green light should come on when I transfer it. It wasn't coming on, so that's when I've learned now that I just have to go around back there, unplug it, plug it back in, and redo the connections.
Reboot it.
Yeah, because there's, I can't reach around back because there's not enough room, so I have to come around you guys and get back there and trying to do it without making too much noise.
do it.
And
quickly.
I want to commend you for he was gritting his teeth and muttering under his breath, but he never said anything that would get us in trouble with the FCC loud enough for us to hear it. And I was very impressed by that. All right. I think Dave is saying we're about to take a break. Is that what I'm getting here? Yes, indeed. That's exactly what that is. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of this hour. You've wasted an entire hour of your life with this show, and you're about to waste another one. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and for no discernible reason, you continue listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We're delighted and honored and pleased that you do so as part of the Soundbites family and hopefully as part of the Jazz 90.1 family, because we are right here every week on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. So here's an interesting question. Our interesting news article. Radiation from Wi-Fi networks is harmful to trees, causing significant variations in growth as well as bleeding and fissures in the bark. Bleeding? I didn't know trees bleed. According to a recent study
in
the Netherlands. Exactly.
You bleed the tree.
That's exactly what you do. All deciduous trees in the Western world are affected. According to the study by Wageningen University. Some university in the Netherlands.
He fixed it, Rob. You didn't need to come in.
The city of Alphen aan den Rhein ordered the study 5 years ago after officials found unexplained abnormalities. That was a lot more German than it was Dutch. Found unexplained abnormalities on trees that couldn't be ascribed to a virus or a bacterial infection. Additional testing found the disease to occur throughout the Western world. In the Netherlands, about 70% of all trees in urban areas show the same symptoms compared to only 10% 5 years ago. Trees in densely forested areas are hardly affected. Besides the electromagnetic fields created by mobile phone networks and wireless LANs, ultrafine particles emitted by cars and trucks may also be to blame. These particles are so small, they are able to enter the organisms. The study exposed 20 ash trees to various radiation sources for a period of 3 months. Trees placed closest to the Wi-Fi radio demonstrated a lead-like shine on their leaves that was caused by the dying of the upper and lower epidermis of the leaves. This would eventually result in the death of parts of the leaves. The study also found that Wi-Fi radiation could inhibit the growth of corn cobs. The researchers urged that further study was needed to confirm the current results and determine long-term effects of wireless radiation on trees. So our question to you, are we killing our trees just to tweet from our cars? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free 1-800-790-0415. And this will teach me to ever pick another news story that has names of places like in the Netherlands. Alphen aan den Rhein, I don't know, whatever that is.
Is that why the frogs are disappearing? Or the bees are disappearing. Yeah, you can blame
the bees are disappearing. They think they figured out what that is. They're dying of something, some blight. All right, our next caller is Linda. Linda from Greece, New York.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Got a question. My desktop is kind of almost biting the dust, and I'm getting the laptop for Christmas, and I got two of them, and I want to know which one you would pick.
Uh-huh.
Quickly. It's an HP Pavilion, i7 processor, 6 gigabytes memory, 1 terabyte hard drive, but it's got an integrated graphics card. Okay? Now,
right.
The other one is a Sony i7 processor, 6 gigabytes memory, 640 hard drive, but it's got a gig dedicated graphics card. Which one would you get?
Well, it depends. Are you going to be doing a lot of graphic things?
Like games?
Maybe playing poker on there. You know, poker online. That's about it.
Call of Duty, Halo, yeah.
Second Life.
Things like that. Yeah. Those require a separate graphics card.
Okay.
In general, a graphics card like an NVIDIA or an ATI graphics card. Gives you much, much higher graphics power when you're doing things like games and Second Life and things like that.
Uh-huh.
For day-to-day use, it doesn't much matter. If you're just doing browsing the web, maybe if you're going to watch a video online, having an integrated graphics card is not as good as having a discrete graphics card. So if you're going to do a lot of videos online, things like that, then the Sony would be a better choice.
Although I'm sure HP has the next model up that has a dedicated graphics card.
Right.
That's what makes it difficult to choose, is that every company has 100 models, and there's 100 companies.
Yeah, right.
I know. Well, still, Mom said, go out and buy them, and I said, I just came back from Best Buy, and I said, I'm going to call the guys. One of the guys told me that he recommends Sony very highly.
Sony is an excellent product. There is no question about that.
Yeah.
And if the money is close enough, because you know what,
that price $12.99, they're both the same price.
Yeah. I like the Sony product, and I personally prefer the discrete graphics card. But that really, if you're not going to use it, the other thing is the only other real difference between them is a couple of hundred gig for the. Graphics card and the hard drive, and so a couple hundred gigs on a graphics card would not be a bad thing on the hard drive, and unless you're planning on filling it up with video and music, that truly doesn't matter. So the real question is that graphics card, and you know, again, if you're going to have this thing for 4 or 5 years, who knows what you're going to do in the future. A discrete graphics card might be a better choice.
Okay. One more question. The guy told me, I said I had a lot of older software. He said I should go up to Windows 7 Professional because it runs older software.
Yes and no. It depends on the older software. Windows 7 Professional does have a mode that often will run very old software, but often won't. It depends entirely on the software. Windows used to have DOS underneath it, and now it really doesn't.
Uh-huh.
There's something called compatibility mode, which isn't actually DOS, and programs that really require DOS drivers and certain things to be in certain places in DOS no longer work. They just don't, and you'll never get them to. So that's less important. And
one reason to keep an old computer lying around.
Right. Right. Don't throw away your old computer if you really have other programs.
I mean, it's just that, Dave has put in a lot of memory and all this, and it's still slower than a tortoise.
Well, that's partially just because it's old and just.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I've got it as a backup, mm-hmm. but also I have back problems and sitting behind a desk.
Right.
So that's why I'm getting the laptop, but that's why I wanted to know. So you would go with the Sony then?
I personally would, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Some of it's to use our car analogies we use a lot. You know, the Sony is more like, the Mercedes BMW tier, and the HP is more like the Ford Chevy tier.
Right.
You know, they're both cars. They both get you where you want to go.
Yeah. Well, we have all Sony products here, TVs and all that.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering. Yeah, I've been begging for a laptop, and she finally said to me, your thing is kind of going, because I'm very seldom on my desktop anymore. I'm on my iTouch. Because I can't get anything on that thing. So
right. Go with the Sony. Match everything else you've got. Get the discrete graphics card. You're on your way.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Sure. Have fun. And have a great Christmas.
Is the camera up and running?
The camera is working fine.
Okay.
Ustream is not seeing it.
All right. So, we could do an extra fundraiser. Since Rob's here fixing things, we could rent him out.
Right, except nobody's seeing it but us.
Oh,
wasn't that one of the pledge bonuses? If you pledged a certain amount of money, Rob would come over and do handiwork?
Well, he's doing the lights here. I figured he'd come over to my house and do windows if he wants.
Yeah.
Right. You need any work done?
Absolutely. Lots of little things that need to be done around my house.
We could rent them out.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Linton is here changing light bulbs.
Rent a Rob. Here we go.
Hey, you got my screen going back. Got my screen back. You do a good job, you know that?
The show's not on in the other room, is it?
Oh, no, I know.
He just choosing to ignore us.
Not working, Rob. So you're good.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is.
Now, do you know what you're doing?
If anyone else is doing a Ustream broadcast and it sees that the camera is there, but it's not displaying any video.
I saw that this morning.
My preview window works fine. Other camera programs work fine. It's just Ustream. I've tried Safari, Firefox, and Chrome. I think maybe the last Flash update might have done something to Ustream, which uses Flash for the video source. It's very
crazy.
If
he lights up, I'm running.
Actually, no. Have you ever seen how the fluorescent light bulbs are cool? You can hold them up in the air near a high frequency, radio tower.
It's Tesla.
It's and it just lights up if there's enough.
Nikola Tesla used to.
Yeah, but is he going to light up too?
Electricity around his office, and he had fluorescent tubes. If he needed light on a bench, he'd just go get a tube, bring
it over,
and lay it down there. This is great, Rob. I could watch you work for hours.
Yeah, me too.
Is terrific.
All the jobs a station manager has to do. It's amazing.
No, my maintenance guy is on vacation.
And this is why.
Yeah.
This is great.
So, he goes on vacation, you get all the jobs done, and when he comes back, there's nothing to do.
That's right.
That's a smart man.
It's a second vacation. And we're going to take the old fluorescent tubes out and do lightsaber battles.
Lightsaber duels, yeah.
This is great. He's doing, it's like he's, it's not quite a pool boy kind of thing, but
Jack of all trades.
All right, our next caller. Is our friend Dar from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How are you, Dar?
How do, gents?
How's everything up there?
Oh, same as your place.
Yeah, cold, miserable.
At least there aren't any bombs falling around us, okay?
Yeah, exactly right. Isn't that the truth?
Okay, just to clear up a popular misconception of us plebs about luxury cars or Marx German cars.
Yep.
They're crap.
And this from an auto mechanic, so she ought to know.
Tell me what you really feel.
The engineering is superb.
Yep.
But back in 88, after working at Toyota, Honda, Jap cars, Mazda, had the misfortune to end up in a VW Audi dealership.
Uh-huh.
The number of electronic parts, even switches, they stock, compared to the Japanese, which would have two or three counts, these guys had bags of 6 or 12 in the boxes and more bags under the counters.
Yep.
Now, 1988, go forward to now, and they still can't make electric window winder motors. This isn't funny. BMW just finally admitted that they had a fuel pump problem that lasted over 4 years.
Wow.
With the cars just completely stalling in the middle of nowhere, like on the highway.
Yeah.
It's probably like every industry. Prices are driving quality down.
No, that's the whole point. In 88, they sucked.
Yeah.
Again, the engineering is great, but the reliability is, you give me a Ford, my frigging Ford, the Exploder.
Yeah.
12 years, starter motor, alternator, radiator, battery.
The guy in charge of Ford now, what's his name? Paul Mullally, I think it is, designed the Boeing 777 Dreamliner. And he's a computer geek, and that's one of the reasons why Ford has got the electronic sync system built into it and all the cool stuff they're adding to it.
Yeah, which is just a distraction and will cause a lot of accidents. And it's Windows-based.
That's the only problem with it. It's Microsoft.
Yeah, it is. It's Microsoft-based. So what is your favorite car to work on?
It has to be Ford's because the seats are comfortable.
No, not to drive, to work on.
Been out of the trade for 20 years.
Oh, right.
But for some reason, Chevy seats, sitting in one of them, like a Cobalt.
Yep.
It feels like pushing a 15-year-old hot water tank up the stairs.
Yeah.
And this, I have done a little mini survey, and a lot of people confirm. I haven't heard anybody say, God, they make good seats.
Yeah.
And let's face it, at our age.
Well, you're still young. I'll tell you what. I
don't know. I like my HHR. It's got good lumbar support. I can sit there and hit the button. It blows it up and takes it down.
Yeah, but we're talking about just poor man's seats, right?
Yeah, right. I own a Nissan Cube, and I love that car. Sitting in that car, I can fall asleep in the seat.
Exactly. Now, carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
Very simple cure.
Okay.
Lay off the dairy.
Really?
This is nothing to giggle at. Go to notmilk.com.
No, I'm not giggling. I'm impressed.
It's frightening. Again, as a mechanic, always had that problem.
Yep.
Glucosamine sulfate, lots and lots of vitamin C. But the main thing is no dairy, no fromaggio, okay?
No fromaggio, si.
No.
All right, so you're saying not just milk, but also cheeses and everything else.
10 pounds of milk and a pound of cheese.
Yep.
Dairy is full of listeria, TB, leukemia viruses, fecal bacteria. They permit 8 million parts of fecal bacteria in a cup of milk, for Christ's sakes. And you're eating cheese?
Yeah, you're right.
And the longer you leave the dairy out on the counter or switching around the supermarket, the bacteria count multiplies exponentially.
Yep. Wow. All right, you're putting me off food entirely here.
No, again, the dairy. It's the dairy. Again, have used this body as an experiment.
Yep.
The rheumatoid arthritis back in 86.
Yep.
Gone.
Wow.
Only because haven't resumed the dairy.
Well, I'm going to take your advice.
We're about the only species that still drinks milk.
Right.
Past infancy. And we don't even drink our own milk.
There's only one problem here.
Yeah.
Calcimorphine that is in all dairy is more addictive than morphine.
Wow.
So this is why we're stuck hankering for this stuff.
Yeah, I am lactose intolerant, but God, I love cheese.
Because you're allergic to it.
Yep.
Whatever we're allergic to, we have cravings for.
Really?
Anyhow, cheers, gents.
God bless you, Dara. I love talking to you. Call anytime. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Holy cow, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour,
this nude lighting, mood lighting that he's creating here.
Dancing in the dark. And broadcasting in the dark.
Handyman Rob. Handyman Rob in the corner.
Well, yeah, except for
broken light bulbs.
Yeah, that really popped good.
Thank you. I don't flaunt your mistakes in front of your eyes.
Yeah, actually you do. Every chance you get. Yeah. What are you kidding?
Yeah, what
don't do drugs, Rob. It's really not a good idea. We are back. Here's an interesting thing. Palm, the company you thought was dead, is reportedly working on an oversized smartphone with a 5-inch display, and it could be ready as early as February 2011, according to website Go Rumors. This is not the first we've heard of a Palm smartphone in the works. Rumors say the smartphone will not only have an 800 by 480 pixel screen, but it will be touchscreen only with no physical keyboard. That sounds familiar. The phone is currently codenamed Mansion. It seems just like Apple has its cats, Palm has a thing for large dwellings. You may recall the Palm Pre's codename was Castle, and I don't mean the television show. The verdict is still out on whether or not a 5-inch screen is pushing the maximum size for a mobile phone. After all, 2 more inches and you're into tablet territory. If Dell's Streak experiences anything to go by, 5-inch smartphone screens may be too large. The Streak was such a disaster, the man in charge ended up being shown the door. So our question to you, smartphones, does size matter? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, and we will talk to you.
But, you know, I think, again, they're almost like some of these other companies, doing too much too late.
What?
What did you just say a minute ago?
I don't know, what did I say?
Does what matter?
And when we're talking about the size of the screen on a smartphone. What the heck is wrong with you?
He's on some bad drugs.
I just heard a delayed broadcast out there. And I'm...
Did you hear the whole thing, or did you just walk in the middle of it? Yeah, we don't listen to you either. He's
even
a cracker.
He's paused.
Let me just say that I have never shown you any less respect here than I did anywhere else, and that's zero. Just so you know.
We love him, though. We still love him.
We still love Rob. Because we abuse him and he takes it. I don't know what that's about.
And he gives it back to us.
And he gives it back to us.
And we just throw it right back at him. Feed him some more rum balls.
He has to respect his elders.
That's right. Puppy boy.
You are very old.
Yeah.
All three of you.
Shut up.
I got socks older than
you. I just hope I live long enough to watch you get decrepit, you little...
Well, wait a minute. You know, all right, I do Thursday nights, and we're rotating now. I do my full 3 hours.
Yeah.
Mr. Spry there can only handle two.
You know,
he's sitting there texting me. I'm in here doing my 3 hours, and yeah, I know I got to do it, but I can only stay until 8.
Now
it's past his bedtime.
I am one of Rob's fans on Facebook.
One of 20.
One of 20.
He's gotten up that high?
So you can, if you are on Facebook, you can fan Rob. You can fan us, too. We're Soundbites as a page. Facebook.com/sound_bites. And you know, Rob, although he keeps telling us he's young and healthy and spry and everything else, it's like Tuesday he starts going, when is the weekend coming? Is it Friday yet?
And I start saying things to the neighborhood kids, like get off the lawn and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm getting old.
You're getting old ahead of your time, son. That's how that works. But that's...
You're sick. You really are.
We love having you.
Met another stalker of yours this week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Which one was this?
One of many, you know. Oh, my God, I just love sound bites, you know.
That's very
you
nice.
You could tell. Yeah, it was very nice. I hear that still quite a bit, and I, you know, the first response out of my mouth is always, why? You know?
Yeah, of course. I don't know why anyone would.
No, I'm teasing.
But it's good to know that some people still do.
It's really cool we get to meet, you know, meet your fans.
It was
fun.
Last night, as I said earlier, last night I went to Straight No Chaser, and there were several of our fans there, and we chit-chatted.
Yeah. Straight No Chaser, classic jazz tune, of course.
Right. Well, and this is the a cappella jazz group. And they were just, they were astonishing.
That's the thing people don't understand. There's so much cool stuff in Rochester as far as music and arts and things like that go. It's like you got to get out there and see it all, especially this time of year, the wintertime. Actually, no, all year round, really. But, you know, a lot of plays come through and musicals come through.
Yep.
And there really is a lot of great stuff. So
they do some great stuff, I'll say that.
Yeah. No, I'm okay. No, I was going to say, talking about other groups, went and saw TSO last Friday.
That show is unreal.
And then after that, wound up going over to...
what's TSO, in case people don't know?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Some folks say, I'm not into long hair music. Well,
I have never seen anybody be able to take Christmas music and like put an edge on it like those guys can. It is unbelievable.
Well, then after that, wound up going over to... I don't know what they call it now. It's the old Java Joe's there on Gibb Street.
Mm-hmm.
There was another band there, and they were phenomenal. I mean, young kids, and I mean, they had a young lady that was playing an accordion.
We forget that Rochester, New York, has one of the premier jazz schools in the world.
Music
right,
schools, not even just jazz.
Music schools right here in town, and that there are a plethora, if not a cornucopia, of incredibly good musicians in this town.
Well,
you can't swing a cat if that's your idea of a good time without hitting one.
Well, there's and I found them in the library, and I was playing them last Thursday night. Was this group called White Hots?
Mm-hmm.
And White Hots plays at the little every so often, and they are phenomenal. I was playing a couple songs off of their different CDs that Thursday night. Although somebody was accusing me of playing too, how did you put it?
Well, here's the deal. When I listen to Dave's show, all you need is a glass of wine. Is a, you know, it's kind of like Uncle Dave's story hour. You know what I mean? It's just he's
no,
very,
it's
very
you
sweet.
And your age. I had a number of folks calling and liked it.
You listen to Dave's show and you expect him to say you're listening to smooth jazz.
It wasn't smooth. It was all fusion.
Yeah.
It was out of the club. That's where I got it from. So I think we should categorize that music. That is where I'm going through. It's a fusion area.
Probably you. Yield
I do
to
wish
computer
you
could have
seen that look.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next look, it's Rob working the board. How cool is this? Our next caller is George from Greece. Welcome, George. What's your question?
I have a question from 2 weeks ago when there was some discussion on video editors.
Yeah.
And there was talk about Adobe Element. I heard that one okay. But there was another program, and I can't quite figure out what the correct spelling is. It sounded something like Irfan or Irfan View.
Right. IRFANVIEW. It's all one word. And it's not a video editor. It is a it's for still images.
Yes.
But it handles dang near every format that ever existed, and you can translate back and forth and do all kinds of other things.
Can you spell that one more time?
I can. Would you like me to do so?
Please do.
Okay, it's IRFANVIEW. Irfan View. I don't know who Irfan is, but this is his viewer, and it's called Irfan View. IRF as in Frank, AN as in Nicholas, VIEW as in wagon.
Irfan Skiljan from Bosnia and Herzegovina.
There you go.
And he lives in Vienna.
Sure, oh, I knew him. He lived down the block
Austria.
From me.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely our pleasure. And if you have not heard of Irfan View, you should look it up and you should check it out because it is, and in terms of viewing pictures, it is exceptionally good. It's very fast, and I have not found a format it doesn't open. The common formats, obviously. When you it lets you translate back and forth, you can save as and do all this stuff. It's an exceptional piece of coding. It really is.
The logo or mascot for the company is a flattened cat with a tire track through it.
Yeah.
But he says he likes cats. It's just a joke.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, it's pretty amazing little product, and it's free. It's a free download. Irfan has generously made that available to anybody to download. It's at Irfan, I think it's at irfanview.com, right?
Yep.
And so all you have to do is download that and accept the defaults, and you're on your way. You're done. It's that easy to do. He's been updating it for years. I mean, I haven't really used a Windows machine as such for a long time. Back in the day, I used Irfan View all the time, and it's still an exceptional product. All right, our next caller is Gil from Webster, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Well, back in the dim past, I used Irfan View for a variety of things. A really great product back in those days.
And, yep.
In that general class of things, I've always wondered, you know, how do we know that some of these products don't, do nasty things behind the curtain? Is there some good way of telling, or is there someone that goes out there and check? Do you spend your nights checking these things?
I honestly do not. But here's the deal: this is why I and many people I know use open source software. With open source software, the source code is open, hence the name. And there are millions of people all over the world who look at that code, tear it apart, and mainly because they're learning or they want to upgrade it or whatever. But in the process of that, they would find if there was bad stuff in there. And that's one of the reasons that I like open source software. So, I use Linux as an operating system for that very reason, because I know there's nothing hidden in there. But in addition, even when it's a Windows machine, that's why I often tell people, load OpenOffice as your office suite. Not only is it free, but you know there's nothing going on behind it. And I tend to recommend open source software wherever possible. But a product like Irfan View has been around so long that even the paranoid people have come to believe, at least, that it's fine.
And a lot of times it's self-editing. If a bad program gets published, the rest of the internet finds out about it, and it gets killed pretty quick.
Right, right. And the idea behind open source and the idea behind things like this is there's 100 million eyes on it. Right. So the chance to sneak something past those people is very, very small.
Well, I just wanted to sort of throw it out, and I guess there's the corresponding question, which is, for those things that aren't open software, you know, we buy all these things and we put them on our Windows machines, and I actually decided to start using Ubuntu, which I use religiously for all of my internet access and my email and this and that. And
good for
you. More and more I use it for almost everything. And I used to be an old Unix person back in the old days. But you know, when I put things on my Windows machines that aren't open software, then I look at that and I say, should I be paranoid or should I not?
Well, a lot of times it's downloading it from known reputable sources, you know, like download.com or Major Geeks or Two Cows, you know, one of the known sources. They're pretty good about self-monitoring their software. And a lot of times just Googling a program's name will show up with, you know, the hits if it's bad or if it's good or if it's suspected spyware, things like that.
Right. And that also helps. I found a piece of software the other day, I don't remember what it was called, that I really was interested in playing with. And I went to download it, and it said, you know, they have the download count. It was 4.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe not me. I don't think I want to be number 5. You know? You know, wait until, you know, you're like the millionth person or whatever. But there's safety in numbers, I guess. But you're absolutely right, Gil. On the other hand, even the people who are uber paranoid about what's in their computer and everything else are using the public internet, and they're sending their data through God knows how many other servers and things like that. So there comes a point at which you just have to let go and trust, and everybody finds that point in a different place. I personally prefer to use open source software because I'm an old curmudgeon. Other people are, even though I'm an old hippie, other people are, you know, more sweetness and light and are more comfortable with closed source software. And it's just a matter of your basic level of comfort with letting somebody else do the driving.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, well, keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Gil.
Thanks
you too.
Again.
Have
and
fun.
By the way, life is still worth living here in Webster.
That's what we like to hear.
Do us a favor, though. Tell those folks out in Webster to tune in to us.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thanks,
I'll get out
Gil.
On the street any minute now.
There you go. Get your sign ready.
Hey, get the word out, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I have this discussion with people a lot. How do you know a piece of software is good? Well, there's ways you can do testing. You know, I do a lot of testing at work, and you sniff the traffic coming out of your machine and out of the test machine so that you know that it's not sending out anything it shouldn't be sending and yada, yada, yada. But that's all hard work and technical work, and the average individual really doesn't know what's going on. How many times have we heard Microsoft is stealing your data?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? 99.9 times out of 100, that's not true. It's somebody who found Microsoft sending information back when, for example, your system crashed, and it sends back information on the crash.
Well, and to some people, that is Microsoft stealing your data.
Right. But generally speaking, what Microsoft is not doing is stealing your data, but trying
not
to analyze what caused the crash.
Yeah.
You know, Google reads every one of my emails. Yeah, I don't think so. There's like 100 gazillion people using Gmail, and every one of those machines is sending, you know, 100 messages a day.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math. They're not reading your email. Now, a machine will read your email in order to send the right ads when you read that email, ads that have something to do with it. But that's not reading your email. That's analyzing your email to produce ads.
And totally different.
And that totally different thing. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't be paranoid on the internet. Never click on a link in an email. I don't care who it's from. Never click on a link on a website unless
you know
what you're
looking at.
Yeah,
and just because it comes from a friend doesn't mean that friend couldn't be infected and, you know, is passing it on to you.
It didn't necessarily come from the friend.
Yeah, I had another customer this week saying that all her friends were telling her she was sending them a virus. And, no, one of your friends has it, and it's using your name. Aren't you lucky?
Yep, it's exactly
how do I stop it? You can't.
Right, right.
One of your friends has to know and stop it themselves because it's their machine.
That's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a little break. Oh, wait, we're not just yet. I got to finish my sentence. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Rob Linton has gone home, but that doesn't stop this from being the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And Steve Ray has gone somewhere else. We don't know where. I'm sure wherever it is.
He'll turn up again.
He's happy there. And we are Soundbites. One last news story for the day. A June 2010 hacking incident that compromised the network at the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland happened on a test system and not the bank's production servers. On Thursday, Lin Mun Poo.
Good Irish name.
Lin Mun Poo was charged with hacking the Fed and other U.S. corporations, including payment processor FedComp and an unnamed federal defense contractor. Poo was arrested on October 21 following a U.S. Secret Service sting. The Secret Service says it found more than 400,000 bank card numbers on Poo's laptop at the time of his arrest. But those numbers apparently did not come from the Fed, which said Friday that none of its sensitive data were compromised during the incident. We don't process credit cards or debit card information, said June Gates, a spokes individual with the Federal Reserve of Cleveland. According to Gates, Poo managed to break into a single federal test PC that was connected to other test computers. This is a system that is used to test software and applications with fake data and information, she said. The incident did not involve our live production system on which we process our work. Gates declined to provide further details of the incident. In court filings, prosecutors said that at least 10 federal computers were affected. Presumably, those were the systems that were connected to the hacked PC. Poo, a resident of Malaysia, was arrested just hours after landing in the U.S. after allegedly selling $1,000 worth of bank card numbers to another man at a Brooklyn diner. Prosecutors said he was in the U.S. to set up a deal to sell more stolen credit cards.
So do they come up to her and say, "Oh, Poo, what you doing?"
I'm sure that's a him. I believe that's a him. Lin Mun Poo was the gentleman's name. So all those of you who are with the Cleveland Bank, the Cleveland Federal Reserve, relax. They didn't get your credit card numbers. That's getting to be more and more of a problem, though.
Oh, yeah.
They're rarely going after individuals. You know, the big hacker conglomerates are going after, you know, it's Willie Sutton said it best. They said, "Why do you rob banks?" He said, "That's where the money is."
There's actually a legislation pending. Most people know about the $50 maximum liability on personal credit cards. Mm-hmm. That does not extend to businesses, schools,
right,
municipalities. And there have been a lot of cases recently where school accounts and small towns have had their credit cards hacked and drained of millions and millions of dollars. And so this bill is trying to extend that a limit to schools and municipalities, and the banks are saying, "Hey, now wait a minute.
Yeah,
we don't know about that now because that's a lot of money they'll have to eat because the bad guys get the money, the good guys don't pay the money, and the banks are the ones that are screwed in the middle."
Yep, that's absolutely true. All right, our next caller is Don from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Yeah, well, mine isn't a question. You were telling people about IrfanView.
Yep.
Tell people to be sure they add to when they do it. Get all the additions. I can't think of what they call them, but you can.
Yeah, the little add-ons that come with
that
you can get with you.
Get those. Okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Don. Yeah, one of the things that's nice about IrfanView is that, like so many other programs these days, other people can write extensions, or he could write extensions himself, and they've done so. So there's a lot of additional little utilities that you can get to add into your IrfanView to do other things like additional formats for reading and writing, graphics formats. So there's a lot of stuff, and Don is absolutely right. With many of these programs, the program itself is very, very, very useful, but it made even more useful by people who write add-ons for it. Actually, to go back to Gil's question, who do you trust? If you trust Irfan himself to have written a good program, you can probably trust that he has vetted the programs that are added on, but that doesn't necessarily follow. But it's possible. It is a tough thing. Who do you trust? It gets harder and harder as time goes on with all this stuff. But who do you trust? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Actually, this week and next week, we should also be asking people what it is they're going to be asking for
Christmas
in their little holiday basket.
Yep, we start doing our recommendations. So if you folks have your particular thoughts, pass them on to us. Email us if you go to soundbites.org. And we'd like to hear your comments on what you think is a great hot product that someone else might want to know on. And we'll kind of check it out.
Well, the nice thing is, if you call us and tell us what you want, it's not impossible that your significant other or some family or friend who would be buying you a Christmas present could be listening and they would know. Or perhaps you could suggest that they listen and then call in. And we will be happy to let you tell us what you would like for Christmas. Our next caller is Bob from Irondequoit. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, actually, I have a point that I just saw on the computer, and forgive me, I've been at the public market buying.
Never forgetting
your wife.
No apologies for being at the public market, Bob, particularly if you were at the Flower City Coffee Company.
Well, frankly, I'll never forget the day she told me the luckiest day in her life was the day she met you.
Oh, she's wrong about that. It was the luckiest day of my life, however.
Well, it was nice to hear that somebody gets along like that.
Yeah, the problem is Elaine really only ever made one mistake in her entire life, and that was marrying me, but it's a mistake I'm grateful for every single day.
She's kept you around this long.
That's right. We're all allowed one mistake. I'm hers.
Hey.
Go ahead, Bob. What's your question?
I saw it on the Black Friday ads that TJ Maxx and Marshalls are carrying the iPad $399.
Yeah.
Would you trust that?
No. Steve Jobs has actually responded to this. The Apple Store will not match that price. Neither TJ Maxx nor Marshalls are authorized Apple resellers. They are getting them on the gray market, and they're selling them below cost.
How can they do that without being sued?
Well, people have asked that. What do you sue them for? They are buying them. In fact, the CEO of the parent company, one or the other, said that they bought them from a retailer. So say you go to the Apple Store, buy 1,000 iPads, and then you can sell them yourself. You're not supposed to resell them, but once you buy them, you can do whatever you want with them. And so you can lose money on them if you want to. You can sell them for whatever.
Loss leaders.
Right, as a loss leader. But they're not Apple-authorized resellers. And the danger is when it comes to warranty time, when that serial number gets plugged into Apple's database, they'll possibly be able to know it wasn't sold at a valid authorized reseller and may be able to deny you warranty information.
How about if you buy a warranty from Square Trade?
Then it's up to you to call them. And a lot of companies sell extended warranties not from the manufacturer but from the warranty company from the reseller themselves, and there can be problems there as well. All the people that bought extended warranties from Circuit City are now screwed because they're gone.
There's that.
Or if the warranty company itself closes up, I think that even happened to CompUSA ages ago when they were still around. It's difficult for consumers, the average consumer, to know the difference sometimes whether you're buying a manufacturer warranty or you're buying a store warranty, and is the store warranty that store itself or is it a third party reseller? So it's right. It's homework the consumer has to do, but it's a heck of a good price. I'm half joking about buying a few of them and reselling them ourselves.
Sure.
Because that's $100 below cost.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, and it again, it comes down to who do you trust, and I guess the bottom line here is, if you buy it from them, you save $100, but don't ever have a problem with it.
Right. Okay.
Ever.
Thank you, fellas. I love the show, and happy Thanksgiving.
And the same to you, Bob. We have a lot to be thankful for. here in this country, and we individually with Soundbites. So we're delighted. It's going to be, I think, an excellent Thanksgiving for us.
Yeah. I mean, other than they're saying that four-letter word for Friday.
Do not use the S word. Do not
use it. I just said four-letter word.
Yeah.
I refused it. I mean, that was shocking enough.
But you know what?
It's Rochester.
Here's the thing. If we don't get the S word until after Thanksgiving, in Rochester, that's pretty good.
Well, hey, I mean, there's been a lot of Christmases. I can remember it raining on Christmas.
And I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, you don't have to shovel that.
Well, and
although I got my snowblower all ready to go.
Okay, you know my address, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So, but this is the...
Hold your breath when you tell me to come over.
But this
That's
is...
That's a long
this
drive at 1 mile an hour.
Whether you... Right. You believe in global warming or not, I remember as a kid, many times on Halloween, going out in a winter coat.
Yeah.
Because it was so... And boots. I mean, just, you know, it didn't matter what your costume was. You had your winter coat and boots on because it was snowing.
Yeah. Well, once... Anybody here, when's the last real big blizzard that you can remember where we were snowed in for a couple days?
That's right.
Hasn't happened in many years. Matter of fact, what was it, just maybe 4 or 5 years ago? I can remember getting my motorcycle out in January because it was 70 degrees out. Because the first 2 weeks in January that year, it was gorgeous 70s, and I figured, I gotta. Just to say that I rode the motorcycle in January.
Exactly.
In New York State, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that third week, that's when winter came in, closed the door, and hello, we were, you know, a couple feet deep in it and everything else, but I got to ride it in January.
I remember back when I was doing theater at Nazareth College. We were a resident theater company. They canceled everything because there was this, and I quote, wall of snow coming from Buffalo. And so we all quickly ran out to the store and bought, you know, chips and soda and possibly other beverages.
Oh, yeah.
And we all sat in a west-facing window like it was a television waiting for the snow to come. And apparently it hit Batavia and then turned north into the lake, and we never saw it. You remember that. George remembers that. And we were actually kind of disappointed. We were waiting. It was, we looked out the window. It was sunny. There was grass. You didn't see. But there was supposed to be this wall. Buffalo was socked in 600 feet of snow. And it was coming our way. And it was going to be horrible. And we were going to be socked in for weeks. Never be able to get out again. And it would be like Saskatchewan. And it never hit us. It was bright and sunny. And birds were flying around. And good grass was out there. It was ridiculous. But, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we just haven't had it. I mean, I don't think we're going to jinx ourselves this year, but I mean.
Well, they say it's going to be very cold, but there's not going to be a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm. That stuff, too.
That stuff, the S word.
The frozen rain.
We don't use the S word, George. George is here. George does a show after us. He does the German show, and he's in already because he can't stay away from us. Look at him. He can't keep
he
away
He likes
from
hanging
us.
Around us.
Sharing your laugh with you.
Thank you. We love laughing with you too, George.
You gentlemen have a great sense of humor.
Thank you, sir. And we're here. I should have had you here earlier when I was trying to pronounce all those names. Well, that was actually from the Netherlands. So
yeah. He could still probably do a better job.
Yeah, he's a lot better job than I did. For me, it was all basically, I don't know what I was saying, but it was,
we had
a story that was from the Netherlands, and they had people names and place names, and I was just massacring them. I apologize to everyone of any form of ancestry
at all
from Northern Europe. It was
probably
going to
get
terrible.
All kinds of letters from the UN. State.
We look forward to your letters. Exactly. I do not.
Mispronunciation.
I admit I do not. I'm an American. We just yell louder until you get it. We don't learn foreign languages. My father was an immigrant, and so when he came over, he was laughed at a lot as a child for not knowing English. He was determined that I would know English and not a foreign language, so I would be accepted as an American citizen. And so consequently, I've never learned a foreign language. It's sad. I mean, you know. And now I'm way too old. I don't even remember English anymore. So I'm certainly not going to be learning very many foreign languages. I can swear in 7 different languages. But I can, and in German, I can say Warum bist du morgen gesund. But other than that, I'm not good at all. I don't know anything at all. And that means, why are you healthy tomorrow? Anyway, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks each and every one of you for calling in. We love to have you do that. Please join us again next week when we will be doing a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and that's Sound Bites right here on the truly amazing, member-supported Jazz 90.1.